Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Nemak's third quarter 2018 earnings call. Armando Tamez, Nemak's CEO, Alberto Sada, CFO, and Adrian Althoff, Investor Relations Officer, are here this morning to discuss the company's performance and answer any questions you may have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's investor relations website. I will now turn the call over to Adrian Althoff.
Thank you, operator. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We very much appreciate your participation. Armando Tamez, our CEO, will lead off today's call by providing an overview of our business and financial highlights. Alberto Sada, our CFO, will then discuss key industry trends and our third quarter financial results in more detail. Afterwards, we'll open up for a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that information discussed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Nemak undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Armando Tamez.
Thank you, Adrian. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nemak's third quarter 2018 conference call. During the quarter, we saw similar trends in our business compared to the first half of the year, with a combination of operational efficiencies and volumes driving a better result. We also continued to make progress in our structural and electric vehicle component segments, winning new contracts to supply premium applications of European OEMs and achieving key production milestones at our new high-pressure die casting plants in Mexico, Slovakia, and Poland. Consolidated volumes were up 5.1% as a strength among the Detroit Three automakers in North America more than compensated for the impact of headwinds in Europe. In particular, lower sales to diesel applications and customer production delays associated with the roll-off of a new European Union emission testing standard. In turn, higher volumes supported 4.8% growth in revenues. Moving on to EBITDA, improved volumes together with efficiencies accounted for most of the 4.6% year-over-year improvement. While our structural and electric vehicle component business is still at an early growth stage, our track record so far suggests that we're already delivering benchmark quality and customer service in these components. This quarter, I am pleased to share that we were recognized by Audi for superior performance in providing structural components for its Q5 platform, having produced more than 600,000 parts to date with zero defects. We also reached peak volumes levels of our first structural component program in Slovakia, supplying more than 400,000 parts to date for several SUVs of the Volkswagen Group, the Touareg, Q7, Porsche Cayenne, and Lamborghini Urus. In addition to our casting expertise, we also are receiving positive customer feedback on our capabilities in secondary processes that are critical for the production of these components, including heat treatment, machining, straightening, and sub-assemblies. In turn, our success to date in managing our structural and electric vehicle component launches continues to open doors with existing and potential new customers alike. Taking into account new business awards this quarter, which consisted of two new programs for premium electric vehicle applications, one to produce battery housings and the other to produce structural components, the total size of our order book in this segment is now around $400 million in annual revenues. Additionally, we are currently bidding for new contracts to produce structural and electric vehicle components worth approximately $1.2 billion in annual revenues, more than double the amount we were quoting at the start of the year. I would also like to highlight our operation in Turkey. Since entering the country almost 2 years ago, we have seen a steady progress, not only in terms of operational performance, but also our pipeline of awarded business. We are currently in the process of ramping up 3 new programs to produce complex cylinder heads for the European market, which we expect will drive revenues as well as a richer product mix at the site through 2020. And given the team's technical expertise and long-standing customer relationships, I am confident that we will remain well-positioned to continue expanding there in the coming years. I will now like to move on to the recently announced United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. In our view, this agreement represents a positive step forward, bringing much-needed certainty to the future of trade in North America. As you may already be aware, one of USMCA's key provisions is an increase in the regional value content, which I would call RVC, from 62.5% to 75% for vehicles and parts made in North America to be exempt of tariffs. I believe this increase creates a potential opportunity for the regional auto parts industry to grow, as some automakers may have to produce more in the region to qualify for the exemption. Our company, whose RVC stands at 90% plus, is in a unique position to serve that potential future market. Consider that approximately 3 million vehicles are imported each year from outside the region, mostly from Asia and Europe. Taking into account that the USMCA, together with the potential for additional trade actions by the U.S. government, we believe it is possible that automakers will consider relocating part of this production to North America in the coming years. I would also like to emphasize two main points related to the new labor value content, or LVC requirement, according to which between 40 and 45% of the value of the vehicle will need to be produced with a production wage rate that is at least $16 per hour. One, it falls on the OEMs exclusively, not on the auto parts suppliers. And two, based on consultations with industry specialists, we estimate that our main clients in North America are already well positioned to meet these requirements with their existing footprint. In conclusion, while the agreement is still pending legislative approval in the three countries, we believe that it represents a potentially positive development both in terms of NIMAC as well as the prospect for further economic integration in the region. I will now hand off the call to Alberto Sada, NIMAC CFO.
Thank you, Armando, and good morning, everyone. I will start my section by providing a brief overview of the auto industry performance in our main regions to provide additional context for our results in the quarter. Beginning with North America, U.S. vehicle sales SAR decreased 1% year-on-year, which was in line with analyst expectations. Meanwhile, NIMAC's customers production showed a 3.7% year-on-year increase, supported by new vehicle launches among the Detroit 3 OEMs, particularly in the crossover and SUV segments. Regarding Europe, on the one hand, vehicle sales are increased 7.9% year-on-year as OEMs accelerated vehicle registrations in anticipation of new emissions testing standards in the region, which took effect on September 1st. On the other hand, NIMAC's customers' production showed a decrease of 4.9%, due in part to the fact that the rollout of these emission testing standards is causing OEMs to take longer to bring new vehicles to market. At the same time, we have continued to see consumers buying more gasoline engine vehicles instead of diesel, a trend that continued during the third quarter of 18, albeit at a slower rate than in the first half of the year. We estimate diesel share of the market has come down to 37%, from the near 45% it had a year ago. NIMAC's total third quarter 18 sales volume was 12.3 million equivalent units, up 5.1% year-on-year, supported by higher sales volumes in North America and rest of the world. Consistent with normal industry standards, volumes in the third quarter are lower than earlier quarters in the years, as customers conduct plant stoppages to adapt production lines for new model year vehicles. As a result, the quarter-on-quarter comparison is not representative of full-year volume performance. Revenues were $1.15 billion, an increase of 4.8% year-on-year, driven mainly by volume gains. NIMAC reported consolidated operating income of $69 million, 4.5% higher than the year-ago figure. The main reasons for the increase were higher volumes and operational efficiencies. Those line items more than offset increased energy costs and expenses related to our dedicated structural and electric vehicle component organization, which is continuing to step up its engineering, manufacturing, and sales and marketing teams to drive new product launches as well as quotation processes with customers. The increase in operating income reflected in our EBITDA, which amounted to $160 million, up 4.6% from last year. EBITDA per equivalent unit was $13, just shy of the $13.10 reported last year. Our third quarter 2019 net income benefited from a higher operating income, a small reduction in deferred taxes, and a non-cash foreign exchange gain of $21 million. This last variation was mainly caused by fluctuations between functional currency and the currencies in which debt is held at the subsidiary level. As a result, net income was $49 million, $38 million more than the third quarter of 2017. Capital expenditures totaled $72 million during the quarter, as we continued investing to support new program launches in all our product lines, as well as to increase our efficiency. Our financial condition remained strong during the quarter, with ratios finishing as follows. Net debt to EBITDA was 1.8 times. Interest coverage was 8.4 times. Those ratios are similar to the ones last year. Now, let me cover our regional results. As mentioned before, the North American auto industry performed well during the quarter, reporting better sales figures than expected at the beginning of the year, although still slightly below 2017 levels. We reported a 10.3% increase in volume in the region, reflecting continued strength among some of our Detroit 3 customers. Our revenues in North American region were also supported by higher volumes and aluminum prices, showing a 10.6% year-on-year increase. EBITDA for the quarter was $104 million, 15.6% higher than last year on the back of increased sales volumes and operational efficiencies that more than compensated for higher energy costs and expenses related to the staffing of structural and electric vehicle component business. In Europe, we reported a 5.6% decrease in volumes during the third quarter of 2018, mainly due to the lower sales to diesel engine applications, plus the production delays caused by the new emission testing standards which I mentioned before. We continue to see higher volumes in gasoline engine parts, but this was not sufficient to bridge the entire gap. The volume decrease, coupled with the depreciation of the euro vis-a-vis the dollar and increased staffing-related expenses, affected third quarter 18 EBITDA, which was 5.9% lower year-on-year. Our volume in rest of the world was 7% in third quarter 18, as a strong demand in Brazil more than compensated for lower volumes in China, where one of our main customers reduced demand while it works on refreshing its product portfolio in the country. Revenues were down 13%, affected by an unfavorable product mix and the depreciation of the Brazilian real against the dollar. For the same reasons, third quarter EBITDA was $5 million lower year-on-year. With that, I conclude my comments, and we will now open the call for Q&A. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
At this time, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Vanessa Quiroga, Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you. My question is regarding the volumes that we saw for the mainly for the U.S. You mentioned that Detroit 3 being very strong. Do you think that these volumes or this performance by the Detroit 3 are sustainable going forward? Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. We are still seeing very strong fundamentals in the U.S. Economy. Lowest unemployment rate in many, many years. We understand that it is one of the lowest, 3.7%. In spite of some interest rate increases, we still see that the disposable income of the American consumer is strong. So we're expecting that this, let's say, trend will continue at least strong for the next or the mid-term future.
Okay, okay. But do you see that your main customers will continue outperforming the industry going forward in the U.S.?
Let's say releases or call-offs that we are getting from our customers from North America are still at a very healthy level, Vanessa, even a little bit better than originally expected at the beginning of the year.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Luis Miranda, Santander Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi, Armando Alberto, good morning. Just a couple of questions, but the first one, a follow-up to Vanessa's. Armando, I don't know if you could give us some sense in terms of relative performance in the Mexican operations versus the U.S. operations. Are you seeing any material difference in terms of performance with regard to this 10% volume growth? My second question is, you mentioned these $1.2 billion in bidding, potential bidding contracts that you are working on. Do you think that these could accelerate, or do you have any time frame for this project to have news on whether you were successful or not in terms of the bidding process? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Luis. The first part related to volumes in North America, we are seeing a significant higher volume than originally expected from some customers in the U.S. market, mainly pickup trucks that are selling very, very well, very strong market in the U.S. So we are experiencing a nice volumes in the U.S. as well as in Mexico. We are seeing, let's say, strong demand and healthy demand from our main customers, which are the Detroit 3, as well as Nissan and Hyundai, the Korean auto parts. And related to the second part, Luis, of the $1.2 billion, what we are seeing is a dramatic explosion on requests for quotation, especially coming from Europe. And this is related to new regulations in Europe that are going to be significantly more strict than they are today. Today are at 95 grams, and the European Union just announced that they will increase, let's say, the reduction of CO2 by 30%. And that puts our European customers in a situation in which they need to electrify it more. We are seeing out of these 1.2 billion, approximately two-thirds that is coming from electric vehicle components and one-third coming from structural parts. Certainly, we have proven already to the market, and that's why I wanted to give you also a highlight about our great performance from the operational point of view with the example of the Audi, in which we have been producing so far more than 600 parts delivered to our customer plant with zero defects, and that certainly is a testament that our performance is very strong, and we are confident that we will continue gaining their trust and gaining their orders.
That was very helpful. Thank you, Armando.
Our next question comes from Marcelo Ino, Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. And I have a question regarding Europe specifically. I understand that volumes to automakers were impacted by the production delays as WLTP is implemented. So could you comment if that impacted started early in the quarter or if it was more concentrated in the back half of the quarter, and when you expect volumes to Europe to normalize? And also, yep, I guess we can say that this has been a tough year for volumes in Europe overall, with the testing procedures and, you know, lower sales diesel applications. So, you know, broadly speaking, when do you expect to start seeing easy comps or easy base comps of volumes and growth to resume in Europe? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Marcelo. Related to your question, we saw that we start suffering some volume decline in Europe, and you're absolutely right. The first one was related to the switch from diesel to gasoline. In some of the customers are in Europe, which in the past they were with approximately 50%, let's say, share of diesel, now is at the rate of about 34%. And this switch in preferences by consumers in Europe has created certain bottlenecks, especially for the OEMs. We certainly are trying to become more flexible and produce more the petrol or the gasoline products. But in this transition, which is coming relatively fast, certainly some of our customers have a struggle. In the second question related to the WLTP, that stands for Worldwide Harmonized Light Vehicle Test Procedure, this is something that the European Union is becoming more strict, and certainly they are asking all the automakers in Europe to test all their vehicles with different combination of engines and transmission, even if they change, let's say, wheels on the vehicle or add some additional weight on the vehicle, they need to be tested. It seems that apparently some of our main customers were caught in this bottleneck. They had to test every single combination. We believe, Marcelo, that this is going to have a temporary effect. Eventually, all our customers will have to go to this strict testing, and once they solve these bottleneck issues, eventually volumes will come back to normal levels.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Marcelo Mota, JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, everybody. Two questions as well. The first, if you guys could comment a little bit about the staff-related expenses in Europe. So we saw margins down significantly. Of course, part is consequence of lower volumes. But wondering if there was part that was related to those staff-related expenses, and I mean how big they were this quarter. And the second quarter is about the rest of the world operation, especially in Brazil. You guys comment about the BRL depreciation as one of the impacts for the reduction on margins. Should that be temporary? I mean, do you have a pricing power to compensate and offset this BRL depreciation with the clients in the region? So that's it. Thanks.
Sure, Marcelo. This is Alberto. Related to your first question, in Europe, as you commented, we saw a reduction of $3 million in terms of EBITDA. But we compare last year, third quarter versus this year. A significant part of that had to do with the volume that we just explained, but also we had additional investments associated with structural component and EVs. Those, as we have recalled, are, let's say, expenses and investments that we want to do to prepare better to be able to capture new business in this ongoing market. We have a global team, which is very well staffed, and that explains part of the reason why we have a little bit less margin in Europe as well as in North America. Related to the to your comment on rest of the world, what we saw there is the combination of two factors. The first one is, well, actually three factors. The first one is increasing volumes in Brazil, which unfortunately, when you see revenues, that is to a certain extent reduced by the effect of the depreciation of the real. The real normally, I mean, we sell our products in local currency in Brazil, but we have procedures with our customers to update our pricing both for inflation and any potential effect of devaluation in the region. Those negotiations happen on a yearly basis, so we should have no issue to adjust our pricing to both inflation and the currency effect that we saw. Another important element that took place in Raw is the fact that our performance in China was affected by reduction of volumes from one customer in China, which is currently going through a phase where they are retooling and transforming their operations to bring new product lineups. When they do that, normally they reduce their volumes, do the adequate changes to their equipment to be ready to produce new model years. That, unfortunately, was also a negative, and that was more negative than the positive effect we saw in Brazil for the additional volumes.
Let me just add, Alberto, if I may, in the South American region, Marcelo, we are also experiencing a very nice development. South America, especially Brazil, is moving to a higher complex powertrains. In the past, they were using more simple engines and transmissions. Now they are catching up with their European and North American counterparts, launching significantly more modern powertrains. And that is a very good news for us. We are experiencing, certainly as we speak, launches of new products with significantly more complexity, and certainly they will convey, in our opinion, higher profitability than in the past.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Sure.
As a reminder, we are now conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. Our next question comes from Augusto Antichi, HSBC Global Asset Management. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, good morning, guys. Question, if we can follow up a little bit on the staffing costs, you put it that was just asked. You guys have it both for North America and for Europe. Can you isolate that a little bit, just kind of so we can see the total impact in the quarter? And then secondly, can I also ask how much the revenue contribution was from structural components structural and EV components for the quarter? Thank you.
Yeah, sure, Augusto. Related to the staffing expenses, we're in line with what we shared at the beginning of the year. We're seeing altogether on a yearly basis close to $20 million worth of additional expenses for the structural components and EVs. And that's broken down into expenses that we have at the global level, which are booked in North America, and then the regional ones, which are booked on each individual region. So for the quarter, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $6 million. Of that expense, when we compare that to last year.
Great, thank you. And sorry, just on that, is it primarily focused in Europe?
Yeah, the efforts are global, but we have obviously an important staff in Europe that is part of our global team. They do both. They support the functions for supporting vehicle structures and EV sales in all regions in the world.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and then your second question related to the size of our sales for structural components and EV. Yeah, for the quarter, it is around $40 million for this particular quarter. And that's part of, let's say, the sales that we're expecting for the full year to be, just for here, around $150 million of sales.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Alejandro Azar, GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one, I just want to reaffirm, the $1.2 billion in biddings for contracts are for powertrain or just structural components or all mixed?
Alejandro, thank you for your question. The $1.2 billion is related to our new product lines, which are composed of electric vehicle components as well as structural components. We, in that $1.2 billion, we are not considering any powertrain potential additional business.
Okay, perfect. And I have a second one. Trying to understand more the market in Europe, could you give us industry inventories, because we have seen sales grow around 3-5% year to date when production seems to be down around 2-3%. I don't know if we could expect production to increase in the next in 2009 given low inventories. I don't know if you can give us a figure on that.
One of the things, Alejandro, that we are seeing in Europe is that related to this WLTP testing, a lot of our customers have a lot of, let's say, inventory that still needs to be validated, or vehicles that are in the process. As I was indicating, this European test, which was, let's say, set for September 1st, created a huge bottleneck, especially from our German customers. They are, let's say, in line to test all these vehicle combinations, and they have a lot of, let's say, units just waiting for them to be approved. Once they break these bottlenecks and they are approved, we will start seeing, let's say, vehicles delivered to customers. So we expect that that eventually will normalize in the next few months.
But I just want to understand, that would affect only sales, because you already sent the engine block or the cylinder head to that vehicle. You already counted that vehicle, right? Or I'm wrong?
I think it's affecting also production. In some instances, for instance, a customer had decided to produce what it is already approved, and they are, let's say, to some extent, delaying certain vehicles because they are not validating, or certain combination of powertrains, engines, and transmissions, and so on.
Okay. And would you be able to give us an inventory figure, inventory sales figure? I don't know if at least tell us if the market is more than 2 months or lower than 2 months in terms of sales.
Yeah, we'll have to follow on that, Alejandro, to give you a precise figure. We don't have it here in front of us.
Okay, thank you. And one more, if I may, on China. We have seen that your volumes in China might be lower than expected. I remember that you were, China was one of your catalysts. I don't know if in 2015 you were saying that you were going to double the business till 2020. What can you comment on the slowdown in China during 2018?
Yes, that's a very good question, Alejandro. First, we are still, let's say, confident that we will reach an increase in revenues or double our sales with the contract that we have. We have been affected this year mainly with one single customer, which is a Ford Motor Company. They are in the process of retooling for the new vehicles, and they have suffered significant, let's say, volume reduction, as it has been already in the press. As we speak, they are launching 2-3 new vehicles that they are confident that eventually will regain some of the share that they lost in the market. So, yes, we have expectations that in the next months, volumes for us will continue increasing. In addition to that, I think we have been gaining orders with some European OEMs that make us believe that we're in the good path to double our revenues in that region.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, and congrats on the results.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Luis Miranda, Santander Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, I two follow-up questions. The first one is on cost. I just wanted to double-check if there was any material or any relevant impact from aluminum in your cost in terms of the increase year-over-year. And the second one is, with the information that you have at this point, and considering that usually third quarter is a relatively softer quarter in terms of seasonality, it seems that your guidance for the year might be a little bit conservative. I just want to understand your point of view there. Thank you.
Sure, Luis. Related to your first question, aluminum did not have any material effect on the quarter. It was pretty much neutral.
Luis, related to the guidance, certainly we have started the year with a better result than originally anticipated. We are confident that we will beat our guidance. But at this point in time, there are still uncertainties, and based on that, we will continue with the same guidance, even though we are confident that we will surpass our, let's say, EBITDA guidance, and we are in line with the CapEx that we set at the beginning of the year.
Perfect, Armando. That was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mauricio Serna, UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. I joined a little bit late, so sorry if this was already asked, but I wanted to know if you could provide us an idea of the amount that was expensed on the additional staffing in both Europe and North America. And does that have to do, maybe, I guess, that reiterates your long-term objective or medium-term objective of reaching the $1 billion backlog of sales from the new businesses for 2022?
Yeah, sure, no problem, Mauricio. Yes, the amount, I mean, we continue with the schedule that we laid out for staffing our group for to support the vehicle construction and EV. And the expenses, or let's say investments, because that's the way we see it, was in the neighborhood of $6 million for the quarter. And that was both for what we expense in Europe as well as what we did in North America and Asia.
Yeah. In related to our objective or goal that we set, Mauricio, to reach $1 billion in revenues by 2022, we're still confident that we will reach those levels. As we explained in our presentation, we are quoting, as we speak, $1.2 billion worth of new electric vehicle components as well as a structural parts. And certainly the investment that Alberto mentioned in staffing, that is related that we want to create, let's say, in the industry, an statement that we are very solid in terms of product development, in terms of quality, and in terms of launching new products, which is going to be key, let's say, to create the confidence in the customers to award the business. We are creating same reputation that we have in the industry for heads and blocks and transmission housing, and that's why we are investing in this separate, let's say, organization, or dedicated, I should say, rather than separate, dedicated organization that is very strong from the commercial, engineering, and product development areas, as well as, of course, manufacturing. So, yes, we are confident, and I think in the next quarters we will start notifying or informing you about new orders, because we are confident that we will be getting some nice and attractive contracts.
Got it. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the result.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gene Bruni, BBVA. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you very much. Just to confirm with you, the backlog for structural and electric vehicle stood at $100 million, not at the end of September. It was coming from 380 at the end of June, just to confirm the number with you guys. Thanks.
That is correct.
Cheers.
Okay.
There are no further questions at this time, and I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Althoff for any additional or concluding remarks. Sir?
Thank you, operator. I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. Please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.